Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Now, in the book called The Walking Cure, the book celebrates the joy of walking and shares the extraordinary health benefits that landscape unlocks. To tell us about it, welcome to the show, it's author Annabelle Streets.
Hi, Selena. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome, Annabelle. So we all know the health benefits of walking, but are you saying that wear makes a difference as well?
Yes, rather surprisingly, I am. I was surprised to find this, as people are when I tell them that, you know, the landscapes that you walk in could also be affecting your health. Because I think a lot of people just get into the habit of thinking, oh, I'll have my daily walk and it's around the same park or along the same bit of beach or through the same old town. But different landscapes produce different chemicals in the air, for example.
Oh.
So if you're walking by the sea, the air that you're breathing in contains quite a different cocktail of chemicals. Actually, they're now called aeronutrients, than say if you're walking up in the mountains, where again the air contains very different compounds. And when you breathe in these compounds, you know, that affects your health, your metabolic health. And particularly it can also affect quite often your mood and your mind and how you feel in really interesting and subtle ways. For example, sleep. People who walk by the beach typically will sleep for about 47 minutes longer than people doing exactly the same walk, but not by the sea. And scientists think this is now because the air from the ocean contains, you know, tiny little quantities of minerals and vitamins, including magnesium, for example, which, as many of us know, is really good for sleeping.
Wow, that's really interesting. But I suppose if you think about it logically, it does make sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing is that most of us, we sort of know this instinctively. We know that if we go for a walk in, you know, in a beautiful woodland, that we feel perhaps calmer, or that if we walk in a city, we might come home feeling more energized. Or if we walk, you know, around a lake, we might feel, you know, happier or more serene. So we know this instinctively. But what's happened in the last 5 years is that the technology for monitoring our brains on the move has completely changed. So earlier, when scientists wanted to look at what was happening in our body and our brains, they could only do it by putting us, you know, on a chair seated in front of a screen and then showing us images of different landscapes and sort of monitoring how we were responding to a screen, you know, in a sedentary position. But now the technology, now the technology has changed. So you may have seen, sometimes you see people walking around wearing these strange helmets, these little hats, which are all wired up. And this new technology, which is now portable and much less expensive than it once was, is monitoring what's happening in your brain as you look out, as you climb a mountain, as you look at an old church, as you look at a modern office block, and it's registering tiny little changes that actually, if you said to someone, you know, as you're walking along, if you said, you know, what do you think about that building? They'd probably say, oh, we don't like that. But now we're finding that actually their stress levels are rising and falling according to what they're looking at. So this new technology has made it much easier for us to understand how people change according to the landscape they're in.
And is it only about the place? Do other things factor into it, like the time of day?
Yeah, lots of things factor into it. Things like the quality of the light, for example, and whether that's morning light or afternoon light. But also things like the chemicals that are given off by plant life. So one of the things that we've learned quite recently is that algae, and these are plant life that lives in water, when the algae blooms and then dies, it gives off all these gusts of vitamins and sort of fatty acids, and we inhale them, and they also will affect our anxiety levels or our, you know, our mood in general. And we've really only just discovered that the plant life, even in water, is having such a profound effect on our own biology.
Blimey. Well, that's an interesting one, actually, because you just mentioned water. I was thinking about if you walk in the rain, does that make a difference?
Well, rain is great. I mean, we all think that we don't want to get wet, but actually what rain does, the first thing it does is it clears the air of pollution. So if you're in a city and there's a lot of traffic, you absolutely want to be going out in the rain. But rain, when it comes down, it also, intriguingly, it sort of bashes against all the plants and trees and encourages the plants and foliage and the trees to release these extraordinary chemicals that have been shown to do quite remarkable things in little petri dishes. So forest air has been shown to shrink breast cancer tumours. Actually, sea air has been shown to shrink lung cancer tumours. So we're just starting to realise that there is something in the air, in clean air, that can affect us at a deeply biological level. I guess the downside of air is that if you're in a big urban area with a lot of air pollution, that has completely the reverse effect. So air pollution is being linked to all sorts of things, from dementia to mood disorders to infertility, to just about everything, really. So walking away from traffic, I think, is the single most important thing we can do.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense as well. So we've mentioned the rain, we've mentioned the sea, the magnesium to help us sleep. What about if you're walking by a canal?
Well, canals are quite interesting. So some landscapes, canals are one of them. Also disused railway lines, cemeteries. Oh. There are some of these older, you know, I call them landscapes, but they're sort of roots, really, that have just been left to nature, really. So they're not sprayed. No pesticide is used on them, which it often is in commercial forestry or in urban parks. But these particular areas tend to be pollutant free, so they have much more diverse wildlife than anywhere else. And I was really amazed to find that your cemeteries have some of the most diverse wildlife in the world. So your rare, very rare butterflies and very, very rare orchids have turned up in places like disused railway lines, canal towpaths, cemeteries, just because they've been left alone. And wow. we humans really like to walk where there's very diverse wildlife. And again, this brain scanning technology has shown that, you know, we like to hear one bird, that's great. But if we hear 3, 4, 5 birds, that perks us up even more. And the same with hearing, looking at plants. You know, it's great to see one daisy. But if we also see a daisy and a bluebell and a celandine and an orchid, that adds exponentially to our feeling of well-being.
Yeah, does it make any difference with smells as well? I'm just thinking, if ever I smell freshly cut grass, like if I go back to the UK and I smell freshly cut grass, which seems to smell entirely different to how it smells in Spain, funnily enough, it takes me back. It just reminds me of my childhood. It's just the smell, and that really gives me a feeling of wellness and goodness.
Yeah. So it's called, in studies, it's called the smell of green, when it's just, you know, grass or branches or leaves, so not a particular scent like rosemary or lavender. They just call it the smell of green. And interesting studies, actually often done on rodents, have shown that the smell of green is just really relaxing. You know, we just like it. I think if you think in terms of evolutionary biology and the fact that we were living in nature, we were living off the land for thousands and thousands of years, it's almost as if we're hardwired to feel comforted by those smells. You know, the smells of green meant that we probably would have been able to find food, meat, water. You know, green means there's good damp soil. So when we smell green, and also when we see water, those two things really, really calm us down. And again, it makes sense if you think that every time, you know, thinking about thousands of years, every time we came across water, we knew we were safe. We knew we could survive. We had food and drink.
Yeah, it's all embedded in us, isn't it, and into our biology.
I think it is. It's so deeply embedded, and we sometimes think that we live in a very sort of modern world and we've lost touch. We're sort of disconnected from it, but I don't think we are. I think it's still there. Mm. We just have to sort of learn how to tune back into it.
Yeah, for sure. So what if you are walking in a pedestrianised, so you're not near cars, a pedestrianised city? Because that's not what you would imagine would be nice to walk through, but some people get a real buzz from being near shops.
Yeah, well, you know what, Selena, we love looking at other people. We love watching our own species. You know, we love looking at what we're all wearing, what we're all doing, what our hair's like. You know, that's a sort of natural trait in humans to be curious about other humans. And there's only one place you get to see all of that, you know, sort of turbocharged, and that's in cities. And in fact, really, the first study I looked at was a Spanish study, and there was a group of Spanish researchers who were just really getting fed up with all of this study about, you know, we've got to be in nature, we've got to be in green places. And these Spanish researchers said, well, we don't think this is right, because here in Spain, you know, we all love sitting out in the square. that's what we like. We like to watch each other in the square with a glass of wine. So they set up a very interesting study where they actually took two squares, but one square just had greenery in it, so it was probably more of a park. And the other was a sort of classical Spanish square that you will absolutely know, Selena. It's got no trees, really, maybe a couple, but it's got shops and bars and a church.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they sent people walking around these two squares. And they were quite surprised to find that the people who came out sort of most relaxed of all, but also energized, so calm, but, you know, feeling buzzy, were the people who were walking around the urban built-up square, not the people who were walking around amid greenery. And that was really the first study to suggest that actually maybe we're overlooking something by just focusing on people wanting to be in trees and smelling cut grass. You know, there are other things that we also really love, and they're in cities.
How interesting. And that came from Spanish researchers.
Yeah.
So in the book, The Walking Cure, it says it shows you the therapeutic benefits of 20 easy to find landscapes. So is it a guide? Do you go through all 20 and say, like you explained to me, the sea, because of magnesium, might help you relax and sleep more?
Yeah. So I look at 20 landscapes that I sort of worked out with my editor. A couple got cut out. She didn't want to have deserts, for example, although I was quite keen on deserts. So deserts went, but we ended up with 20, and they range from things, you know, more obvious things like cliff tops and the beach, to mountains and woodlands and city centres and, you know, canals and rivers and disused railway lines and night walks. So these 20 landscapes that everyone will be familiar with. And then I just looked into all of the research on each of the landscapes and try to pull together something a little bit different for each one. I mean, one of the ones that I found really fascinating was mountains, because I've always been a bit of a mountain girl, and I just love mountains. And I couldn't really understand, you know, why do I love mountains so much? I didn't grow up in mountains. I grew up at sea level. I never went to mountains as a childhood, you know, my childhood. So I couldn't really understand why I was always drawn to mountains. And I think everyone will have their place where, you know, if you say you could have one last holiday, where would you go? Everyone will have their favorite place. And mine's always been mountains. But when I started digging into the research, it was quite interesting, because when we're up at altitude, sort of moderate altitude, what you might call skiing altitude, so not up at Everest, Ben Nevis altitude, your body starts to produce a hormone called urepirethrin. And this hormone is really the body's attempt to help you deal with the reduced oxygen in the air.
Yeah.
But we now know that this hormone also has antidepressant qualities. And in fact, pharmaceutical companies are trying to work out, you know, how they can make this hormone and put it in a pill. So there's something about being in mountains, you know, we do actually feel happier. And it's because our body is producing a sort of happy hormone as a byproduct, really, of helping us to deal with a smaller amount of oxygen. But I know, so I started thinking, well, maybe that's why I love mountains and I'm always happy in mountains. It's just my body producing a happy hormone. Yeah, nothing more complex than that.
And for those of us that have never particularly climbed a mountain, we don't know whether we'd feel the same.
Well, you should try it
We've got a lovely one here called La Concha. I might just do that. Well, it's fascinating stuff, Annabelle. It really, really is. For our listeners, the book is called The Walking Cure, Harness the Life-Changing Power of Landscape to Heal, Energize and Inspire. It's out now and it's by Annabelle Streets, who we're chatting to now. Annabelle, if people want to find out a little more about you, do you have any social media or a website?
I have a website, which is just annabelleabs.com. I'm on Instagram, which is also Annabelle Abs. Annabelle Abs is my maiden name. Annabelle Streets is my married name.
Okay. I didn't know if it was Streets because it was all about walking in different places.
I know. Everyone thinks I've invented the name Streets. It's actually my husband's name.
Bless you. So it's Annabelle Abs, A-B-B-S.
Yes.
Well, it's been delightful to chat to you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Selena.
Bye-bye.
Bye.